Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we talk with one of the more innovative arts presenters in our city, Corgis Productions, and their director, Ken Tracy. For the past several years, Corgis has presented musicians, arts groups, musician groups, dance companies that would otherwise not be seen in Tulsa. In fact, that's their mission. This year, Corgis has found a permanent home at Casha Hall's Helmerich Theater, and their season includes appearances by internationally renowned mezzo-soprano Stephanie Blythe and the Bill T. Jones Dance Company. Corgis' season opens this Saturday and Sunday with the return of Dwight Roden and Desmond Richardson's Complexions Contemporary Ballet, which will feature a new world premiere dance piece in their performance here in Tulsa. Ken Tracy is my guest to talk about the upcoming season of Corgis Productions. Ken Tracy, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us. Always good to be here.
Corgis Productions, the most eclectic artistic presenter in our city, and you've been going on for a couple of years, and really it's been interesting to watch what Corgis does and how it's evolved over the last few years. Take us back to the beginning. What was the idea that you wanted to do with Corgis?
Well, Rich, the whole idea came up with the fact that in the early 90s, I worked in New York and had a lot of time on my hands. So I go down to the George Theater and see dance, and I would go to the Lincoln Center and see things. When I came back to Tulsa, a lot of these groups that I had seen in New York, they weren't playing Tulsa. So I started looking into it, and I said, well, what does it take to do this? And, of course, I was very naive at the time. I thought, you book a hall, you book a group, and you sell tickets, and you're off and running. So that's essentially what we did 6 years ago with Sweet Honey in the Rock. Was the first group we brought in. And essentially, our mission statement is to present things that otherwise would not appear on Tulsa stages and to engage the community with visiting artists. And that's what we try to do.
Yeah.
If somebody else is going to present something, I say wonderful, we'll present something else.
Now, one of the things you've done, you started out as a profit-making organization and switched to nonprofit very quickly, maybe out of necessity as well as reality.
Yeah. The whole presenting business for this type of work is geared toward nonprofits because of the rate structure and just what you have to do. Yeah. It's not like a big rock group that makes huge money selling records and whatever.
Yeah, and in the first couple of seasons, I gather you were trying to gauge what sort of acts and musical guests and artistic events would Tulsa sort of flock to, because it was pretty scattershot. And now you have a music series and a dance series, and the dance tends to be very contemporary.
Well, our dance is indeed probably the strongest thing we do. We try to present at least four dance companies every year, and it's all contemporary dance. Tulsa has a wonderful ballet company, which is also now doing some more contemporary works, which is wonderful. But these world-class dance companies were simply not coming to Tulsa, and we felt like that was an area that we wanted to give Tulsans the opportunity to see some of this amazing dance that's out there. And now our music is a lot more eclectic in the sense that we may have Carrie Takanawa in recital versus Soul Percussion, which is just about as far away from that as you can get. So we're developing a real solid audience for our dance because it's kind of consistent. It's always contemporary. Every company is different, of course, but it's all contemporary dance. Music, we have fewer subscribers to the series because people tend to kind of cherry pick what they want to see. Now, what we need to do is get all those people to expand their minds a little bit and see some of the things that they don't know that they're going to like.
Yeah, so there's a real mission as far as just expanding people's art boundaries.
Absolutely. You know, people say, well, do you think people, you know, should really support Corgis and what you do? And, you know, I tell them that to me it's less supporting us than letting us support you. Because I think everybody has an obligation to expand their mind and see new things, and we like to give people the opportunity.
You know, we talk about lifelong learners, you know, in the marketplace and in business, but I think it needs to be the same in arts, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the more you see, the more you like. One of my stories is every January in New York, all the agents and all the presenters get together and we see these showcases of different dances. And there's a dance company, her company is really the hottest thing. She's been at Jacob's Pillow several times with her dance company. She is just everyone is excited about her. And I went to her showcase, and afterwards I told the agent, the representative, I said, I've never seen a more unattractive collection of dancers. I've never seen a more uninspired choreography. Okay, so that was in January. In July, I'm in New York, and the agent begs me again to go see this company. We see a full evening performance, and I'm sitting there with my mouth hanging open because it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
And it wasn't and the same.
Absolutely. The part that I had seen in the showcase was an excerpt. It didn't make sense. When you see the whole thing together, it was just gorgeous dancers, gorgeous dancing, inspired choreography, you know. So all I tell people is, you know, stay after it.
So I guess we're going to have to wait a couple of years to see them, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, the season opens this weekend with a group that you have brought here before, Dwight Roden and Desmond Richardson, the principals of Complexions Contemporary Ballet. And these are guys, if you watch So You Think You Can Dance, these are guys that are doing the choreography for the people that are on stage. And they're just incredible talents.
Absolutely. New York Times said they're the most inspired dancers that came out of Alvin Ailey Dance Company. And they've had this company for a number of years and just do amazing work. As you said, we presented them 2 years ago. They were so well received that I said if we didn't bring this particular company back, probably some of our patrons would throw me in the Arkansas River because it was that exciting. People absolutely love this company.
Yeah, and this time they're coming back and they're actually doing a world premiere for
They're
you.
Doing a world premiere. When the curtain opens Saturday night, it will be the first time an audience anywhere has seen this first piece. It's called The Curve. It's a new piece choreographed by Dwight. And it's going to be amazing, apparently. I'm anxious to see it myself.
And you'll see in their performances, you'll see everything from a little bit of ballet, a little bit of hip-hop, a little bit of jazz, maybe even a tap occasionally. It literally is this amalgam of dance.
Absolutely. It's a very exciting company, very athletic. You know, all the companies that we present, those dancers have been trained in classical ballet. And then from that, they go out into more contemporary. So Complexion is a very good example of that. All their dancers are classically trained, but then they bring in, as you say, hip-hop, jazz, modern, and, you know, some of the...
Probably some street form we haven't even heard of yet.
Absolutely. I look at some of the stuff on the stage, and I said, how do you teach that? How do you remember that? Because it's not your classical ballet movements at all.
Yeah. And we should mention, when that show opens on Saturday night, it will be in your new home. You finally have a home because Corgus has been, you know, I mean, some at the PAC, but others, you've had to find a theater where you can, and now you finally have a home, and that is at Casha Hall.
Well, you know, when you first start out, you're kind of the stepchild in town, and you do what you do where you can. And we really enjoyed our relationship with the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. It's a great organization. But what we found is that dates are just impossible to get down there. They have
so many tenants.
There are more theater companies. We performed primarily in the Williams Theater. And so companies come in for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And that leaves only a scattered weekend here or there. And we're not the only ones trying to grab those weekends. So what we found is that we have this beautiful facility, 720 seats, the Helmrich Theater at Casha Hall School, and it is a beautiful theater and very intimate, great place to watch dance, and we're excited. And what that does for us in the future is because we are actually the only ones presenting there, we can do almost any weekend. And so that makes going to New York, going to conferences, and booking groups to come in a lot easier than having 6 or 7 dates and trying to shoehorn people that we want into those dates.
Yeah, has that been an irritation? Is that you want to book this group, but you just can't bring them to Tulsa because your dates don't coincide with the dates?
Well, unfortunately, it's been very frustrating because we have a wonderful opportunity and no venue. Yeah. And it's caused us to do some things we shouldn't have done. We were really excited about doing Kodo a couple of years ago. And we couldn't get the Chapman Music Hall, so we did it in an alternate facility that didn't quite work the way it should have. So, you know, one of the things you learn after a bit is do what you can do and don't try to push things and do what you can't do by trying to do it somewhere else or whatever.
Your next event in October is you've done this the last few seasons where it's been some of the world's greatest singers. Kathleen Battle, you mentioned Carrie Takanawa, and this year it's Stephanie Blythe.
Yeah, Stephanie Blythe, of course, has been to Tulsa before.
Yes, she
you
has.
Know, most of the artists that we represent have never been to Tulsa or Oklahoma before.
I think did she do a Tosca years ago?
She did Carmen a couple years ago for Tulsa Opera, I think. But she has a lot of fans in Tulsa. And so I was, you know, as you say, we that's one of the things we're trying to do is to bring in singers in recital. And so I was talking to the agent, and she said, well, you might be interested in this project, Stephanie Blythe performing the songs of Kate Smith. And I think it's going to be a great program. The New York Times said that Stephanie Blythe was a better Kate Smith than Kate Smith. And I guess it shows our age that we know Kate Smith. People know Kate Smith's songs. They don't know Kate Smith necessarily.
You know, frankly, I know God Bless America, and that's about it. Well, but you know, Kate Smith was a huge radio star.
A huge radio star. And, you know, back in the 30s and 40s, she brought the country through the Depression and World War II with her enthusiasm. She made over 2,000 recordings. If her picture was on a piece of sheet music, it would sell. So everybody wanted Kate Smith to record her songs. And she was popular all the way up until 1970s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she actually is credited for winning the sixth game of the playoffs of the Stanley Cup for the Philadelphia Flyers because she came in and sang God Bless America. And from that, God Bless America started to become a standard at sporting events. Wow. And she was a woman who, with her enthusiasm, was able to encourage people. And Stephanie Blythe carries that into the stage.
Of course.
So this is right before Veterans Day, and we hope to have a lot of World War II veterans and their families, widows, whatever, to attend the performance.
Yeah, and it'll be a very different side of Stephanie Blythe, who, you know, you'll hear her all season long on the Metropolitan Opera on our broadcast.
I watched her Tuesday night.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, of course, she's an incredible talent there, but this is a very different side that she'll be doing. It sounds like something she's really interested
she
in.
She really is. She grew up on this kind of music, and she said she used to listen to it with her grandfather. And so when she started studying the music, Kate Smith, she said, well, this would just be a wonderful show to do. So excited about being able to present it.
And that's October 27th.
That's correct.
Now, in November, right at Veterans Day, you have another dance group. It's Spectrum Dance Theater plus Donald Byrd.
Donald Byrd is the artistic director and choreographer for Spectrum Dance Theater. He is probably best known for his Harlem Nutcracker, which was a different take on the traditional choreography. He does contemporary dance, of course. And Harlem Nutcracker toured the country for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And another thing about Donald Byrd in an Oklahoma connection is that this past summer he choreographed a production of Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma. And this particular version caused quite a stir because they cast a black man in the role of Judd.
Ah, uh-huh.
And rather than just, you know, taking that for what it was, Donald Byrd spent a lot of time studying race relations in Oklahoma prior to statehood.
Wow.
And since then. So probably outside of Oklahoma, Donald Byrd probably knows more about race relations in Oklahoma than anybody else.
Interesting, because, you know, that completely changes that dynamic between Curly and Judd.
Absolutely.
If there's
Absolutely.
Race involved.
I was really sorry I couldn't say that, because it's just a whole different take on the story.
Yeah. Well, that will be in early November, November 10th and 11th, and they'll be doing, it looks like they're going to be doing...
they're doing a work called the Theater of Needless Talents. It's a full evening work, and the Theater of Needless Talents will be performed to live music, and it takes place in a concentration camp in World War II. And they'll be performing the music of a Czech composer who actually died during the Holocaust. And this, as Donald Byrd and Bill T. Jones both in recent years have been doing a lot of work examining social issues. And so what Donald is doing here is examining how art, music, can help people survive in even the most severe circumstances. And so here you have a concentration camp, and you have musicians there that still perform. It's very similar to Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time that we presented 2 or 3 years ago. We're faced with these huge obstacles. People turn to art and music to help them get through it.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a powerful evening.
It's going to be a powerful evening.
You follow that up in December with Sweet Honey in the Rock. Now, this was your very first group.
Sweet Honey in the Rock was the first group we represented, or that we presented, and they did a concert 6 years ago in October. So we are excited to be bringing them back. One of the things about the new venue is we're able to do a December program. We've never been able to get a venue in December before. So they're going to do a program half of holiday music. They actually call the program Music for the Holy Days. Uh-huh. And so half holiday music and half Sweet Honey in the Rock standards. So it's going to be a great, great evening. And these women are absolutely wonderful to be around. And another thing about Sweet Honey in the Rock is one of the members that actually travels with the group does sign language interpretation of all the music. So this will be a great evening if anyone has is hearing impaired, great evening to go out during the holidays.
That sounds great. And then we have a little bit of music by Sweet Honey in the Rock. Here's a sampling here on Studio Tulsa.
A gong king king gong gong king gong gong king king gong 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 king king gong gong king gong gong king king gong 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 king king gong gong king gong gong king king gong gong a gong king king gong gong king gong gong king king gong gong.
We come by grace this far, leaning on who we are, holding to what we've been and what we can be. Some paths we take mislead us, lessons we face should tell us what goes round comes around, and round and back again. Round and round and round, round. Inside this maze, the cycle of life is turning. Spirit, guide us, guide us, inspire us. We come and go by grace, and by the grace of God we go. What vision guides our journey? Who do we call for mercy to survive? Hold on to thrive, gaining in strength.
That's music by Sweet Honey and the Rock. My guest today is Ken Tracy, the executive director of Corgus Productions. For the past 6 seasons, they've been presenting some of the most interesting music and dance performances here in our city. They opened their season this weekend with a return by Complexions Contemporary Ballet. They'll be doing a world premiere this weekend at their new home at Casha Hall in the Helmrich Theater. And Ken Tracy is my guest today. Well, after the holidays, after Sweet Honey and the Rock, you return to dance with the River North Dance Theater of Chicago. This looks like, from your photograph, it looks like it is a really interesting group.
This is an amazing group. Very enthusiastic. Again, a very athletic group. Their music is always very upbeat. You attend this performance and you go away feeling happy. Frank Chavez is the artistic director. You know, Rich, almost all the companies that we present are what I call choreographic companies. That is, they perform primarily the works of the artistic director, a company choreographer. And so Frank Chavez is a Cuban-American, and he has a piece called Habaneros. It's a fairly lengthy piece presenting the music of Cuba, and it's all as you can imagine, just a wonderful presentation.
And, of course, all of the music of Cuba is in some way a dance form. You know,
exactly.
From a danzón to salsa to everything else in between,
right.
There's usually some dance involved with it. Yeah, so it should be a great evening.
It should be. Another thing about River North Dance Chicago, and I'm excited about bringing them in when we are, they still have some of the, I mentioned they do primarily the work of Frank Chavez, but they also have some guest choreographers who've done pieces for the company. And one of those is Robert Battle, who has recently been named the artistic director for the Alvin Ailey Dance Company. Now, River North Dance Chicago still has a couple of pieces choreographed by Robert Battle that they can perform. And so we're trying to get those on the program. It's still kind of up in negotiations between us, River North, and Robert. But he's basically bringing all of his choreography from these other companies back to Alvin Ailey now. So this might be a rare opportunity to get to see a Robert Battle piece.
Well, that's in January, the 19th and 20th. You follow that up in late April with another of one of the few names of contemporary dance that everybody probably knows, and that's Bill T. Jones.
Bill T. Jones, Arnie Zane Dance Company. And this is their 30th anniversary. So we're going to do not his more contemporary work, but we're going back to his early collaboration with Arnie Zane. They were together for 10 years before Arnie Zane died, and they really changed the face of contemporary dance. And so we're going to do their classical music program. And again, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be to live music. The first piece, D-Man in the Waters, is performed to Mendelssohn's string octet. And then the second piece is going to be performed to a Mozart quartet. And you're going to get to see really some dance history here. It's an amazing evening of dance work presented by maybe the leading contemporary choreographer of contemporary dance.
Yep, and that's in April, April 27th and 28th. The final event of the season is in May, and it's another music group, New York Polyphony, and it's four singers, from countertenor, and these are all male, countertenor down to bass, and they are singing a lot, as you would expect, early music, but also contemporary music as well, and everything in between.
Absolutely. Again, an a cappella group, and just a truly wonderful sound and a great bunch of guys. And they have this wonderful, unique sound. And if you close your eyes, you might think you're in a medieval cathedral.
Mm-hmm. And it is a great sound. I think we ought to hear a little bit. Here they are singing music by Josquin des Prez. That's music of New York Polyphony, which ends the Corgus season in May, May 4th, in their new home at Casha Hall's Helmrich Theater. Corgus season opens this weekend with a return of Complexion's Contemporary Ballet. They'll be doing a world premiere for their return to Tulsa in just 2 years. And we've been talking with Ken Tracy, Corgus Productions, another interesting season this year. And what are some of the things you want to do in the future with this organization? Now that you have a home, you know, where you have your pick of dates, you have about a 700-seat theater, which is probably it's sort of a nice middle size between for dance and music events. So you've really got a good facility. It's brand new. It's, you know, it's very modern. So what are some of the future plans you want to do?
Well, there are still some amazing dance companies out there. And, you know, Desmond and Dwight are going to do a world premiere here. And that kind of, it's amazing that they're doing that because it, I think, illustrates how quickly Corgus has grown in just 6 years to being a major dance presenter. Now, I have to tell you a story, if I may. When I first started doing this, the first arts presenter conference I went to in New York I went up to one of the major dance agents, and I asked about one of her dance companies. And she looks down at my name tag, and she says, Tulsa? I don't think so. So I just got back from Western Arts Alliance conference meeting in Denver last week, and the same agent had called me 3 weeks ahead of time, and she desperately is wanting me to present some of her companies. And she's probably one of the major dance agents. So we've grown, and it's given us a lot of opportunities. We get phone calls, emails all the time. The Dance Theater of Harlem has been recreated and is going strong again now. And their artistic director called me and he says, everybody tells me that Corgus is the only presenter in Oklahoma that can do Dance Theater of Harlem. Are you interested? And the same thing is true. You mentioned Kathleen Battle. Uh-huh. And Corgus has this reputation now of having good hospitality. People love to come to Tulsa. Kathleen Battle, there's all these stories about her. She went back to New York and told Tim Fox, who is head of Columbia Artist Management, that she had never been treated so well. And he calls me up and he says, what did you do? And I said, well, I just treated her like a guest. And I think that's what we do with everybody. We just treat them like a guest when they come to Tulsa, and Tulsa treats them like a guest in the city, and people love to come to Tulsa. So now Tim Fox, head of Columbia, is calling me and offer me some things that he has going that not everybody else is going to have the opportunity to do. And I don't want to talk about this one project. It would be really, really amazing, a voice recital that I hope we can work out. But it's one of the major, major names in opera right now, and it's going to be tremendous.
Well, it sounds like you have a few tricks up your sleeve yet.
Let me say one other thing. One of the things that we have expanded and we're going to continue to expand is our community engagement program. Last year, Corgus had workshops and master classes, student performances, and we had over 5,000 area students take part in our community engagement activities. We expect the same number this year. So if anyone's listening that's a teacher or has a group that would like to take part in this, we would like to hear from you because we like to get these artists out into the community, and the artists themselves are eager to participate in community activities.
You're sharing the art form. That's what it's about.
That's what we like to do.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we wish you great success with Corgus Season, which opens this weekend with Complexions Contemporary Ballet. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Ken Tracy of Corgus Productions. Corgus opens their season with Complexions Contemporary Ballet this Saturday and Sunday at the Helmerich Theater at Cashel Hall. For ticket information for Corgus Productions, call 918-688-6112. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.